Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I want to talk today about a subject that I believe will strengthen you if you'll hear what it has to say. Now, we are a church that's very specific on 1-2-3s. Do this, do this, do this, and this is what will happen. Don't do this, and don't do this, and this is what happens. We're real applicable approach to the Word of God, because the Word of God has some real application for our life. It's not just a history book. There's application in the Word for your life. And so I think a lot of times here we talk about what to do and what not to do so much. Here's what happens. We go out in life and we see others that are not doing the 1-2-3s that we've been taught to do. Or they're doing the 1-2-3s we were told not to do. I mean, they're doing something that either we were told not to do or to, but they're doing the opposite of what we've been taught. And so what happens is we're oftentimes, as Christian people, real quick to count them or write them off. You know, I'm trying to get a good marriage, and all you guys do is argue, we won't be hanging out with you anymore. Now, that may not be what you say, but that's... So all of a sudden, we become recluses. Now, but Pastor, don't you teach about environment being so important? Absolutely. But what I want to do is I want to get a lot deeper today in the Word and teach some principles that I think over the last several years, we've got people who have been here for a while, they've really got a hold of some principles in the Word, some 1-2-3s of the Word. They've applied it, and they're seeing that the blessings of God are real when you apply those things. But you know, there was a day and time in my life when I didn't get all this. I didn't get it all. I mean, I still don't get all of it, but I didn't get it to where I got it now. Everybody's at a different level. Some past me, some... So I ought to know some of the Word. I'm preaching it quite a bit, and so I know some of it, but I'm getting more and more mature in the Word, and the more mature I get in the Word, the more I realize there are others who may not be as mature. And here's what I hear, and I hear it from our young people. Did you see what they just did? Our young people will be around other young people. Can you believe the way they acted, Mom? Dad, did you see that? How horrible. Well, it's not just the kids. We go to work and we're blown away at the way people talk in our break room. Can you believe what they said? Can you believe what they did? You know, there was a day and time that they were you and me. And I'm glad that I was introduced to Jesus. And I'm glad that His grace was big enough to overlook all the things that everybody else that was mature in the Lord was talking about associated with me. Now, as we grow in maturity, we got to really be careful not to grow judgmental without being able to look at them and see where they're at and offer help, not ridicule or condemnation. See, there's a fine line here, because we're teaching our kids, well, we're not going to hang out with them. But why? Don't they need Jesus? Yeah, they do. So what are we going to do? How do you balance that? Boy, today's going to be good if I can get across. And I've been praying, Lord, please help me. I need your help today in getting across what you've laid on my heart. Let's just talk about a word called grace. Grace. The question today is, do you give grace? Do you give grace? And when do you give grace? Hopefully we can talk a little bit about this. And I may not get it all in today, but I'm going to do my best to get a lot of this out today. It's real important. Because if we're going to strengthen the next generation, if we're going to strengthen ourselves and mature ourselves in the Lord, we've got to know when grace is to be given and what the purpose of giving grace is. Why did God give us grace? We didn't deserve it. That in itself is the definition of grace. No, we didn't deserve it. Grace is the free, unmerited favor of God. Well, that's a real fancy way of saying it. It manifests itself in salvation of people who are sinners, which is all of us that have been saved. And it's in the bestowal of blessings that you didn't deserve. There's a lot of blessings I've received in life that I didn't deserve, but I'm grateful for them. And I can look back on life and I can realize I didn't deserve that. And when anybody starts talking about, well, I didn't deserve that, just be real careful right there, because we don't want to talk about what we deserve. What we deserve is hell. That's what we deserve. But because we have a God who is merciful and full of grace, we can have a temporary exemption. Now, I want to talk about some of this. Grace is a state of sanctification that's enjoyed through divine assistance. For those of you that are real into the theological explanations, that would suffice you. Here's the rest of us. It's just special favor. Just special favor. You got favor, it was undeserved. There's some words that mean close to the same: mercy, charity, leniency. It can mean a disposition to show kindness or compassion when kindness and compassion weren't deserved. See, that's what grace is. I want you to get the picture of it. It implies having an attitude or a willingness to make concession for somebody who didn't deserve concession. If you don't have some measure of grace in your marriage, you will have a divorce. I mean, that's just the way it is. Let's start here. Because here's where some of you parents are listening to what I have to say, and here's the cool thing. You wouldn't believe how much the kids are listening to what I'm saying today. Why? Because they're waiting to get in the car. They're waiting to get in the car, and they may be in a position where they just got in trouble. They did something they weren't supposed to do, and they're like, Mom, Dad, did you hear what Pastor talked about with grace this morning? These were my favorite messages when I was a kid. And so I'm going to just go ahead and talk some parenting for the parents that get in the car. Let's just start here, because there will for sure be a child that brings this up. Grace to a child is no discipline. Well, I deserve discipline, but I'm getting some grace. Well, when should we discipline our kids, and when should we show them grace? Y'all ready for just a quick parenting session here? Because really, that can be tough sometimes. Sometimes we're supposed to show our kids grace, and other times we need to show some discipline, because we are the administrators of both. And well, I don't know really what to do. The truth is, it's not an either-or question. It's not an either-or question. Grace and consequences actually go hand in hand. And most people don't understand this, so I know I'm getting deep today. But we got to look at Christ and what he did to show us. See, you can have both grace and consequences. They can function together. Jesus offered grace and allowed people to face the consequences of their actions. A lot of people were in prison facing the consequence of their actions, but they were provided grace in the midst of a terrible situation. I don't know if anybody else has ever had this. I'm talking about it now that I'm past it. Mom, Dad, I have homework. Anybody here ever heard that from your kid? At 11:30, right when it's time for bed. Well, every one of us have. And they just got home from a friend's house and didn't tell you anything about homework, and so you had given them permission to go to the friend's house. And you find out at 11 o'clock, when they get back from the friend's house, and they were supposed to be in bed an hour ago, and I have homework. What do you think? What do you do here? Well, there's going to be a lot of different responses. I mean, the thoughts that go through is, I don't really want him to go to school tomorrow and not have his homework done, because I'm probably going to get a call. Or I'm going to hear in the next parent-teacher conference that they're not getting their homework done. And I'm trying to help and be responsible with the school, and now my child has put me in a bad situation, and now I just don't, oh, okay, sit down. I'm going to help you. There's a grace response. There's a grace response. A consequence response is go to bed. You should have thought about that. And tomorrow, you just won't have completed work. Really? But I need to do it because it's not going to be good for me, and I may even miss recess. And the parent's like, well, you deserve that. And so most of the people at Christian Ministries take the second. After being here any length of time at all, that kid ain't getting no grace. You go to bed. Tomorrow you won't go to a friend's house for 5 years, maybe 20 years old is the next time you'll get to go. See what I mean? There ain't no grace being given here. So what do you do? Well, pastor said, give me grace, Mom. Come on, Mom. Stay up for... I want to talk about not just this subject, because some of you are going, well, pastor, I'm waiting for the right response. Well, the right response is all determined on what will produce the most fruit. There's got to be a consequence at times, and at times there's got to be grace. In church, we've got to teach at times, you better be bold and strict and whip that child's rear end. And there, amen, see, there's a... And there are other times that, you know what, you whip them and you, but now let's sit down and do some work. They're still going to get a consequence, but we got to get some grace here, and we got to sit down and work through this, because if we don't get this done, you're going to be in danger of not graduating, and you're in second grade. Come on. We got to do something here. And so we got this whole mentality. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Hebrews 12, verse 6. The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. A lot of people don't know this when they sign up for Christianity. A lot of kids don't think parents ought to pay any attention to this. But your parents discipline you because they love you, kids. That's why they do that. And a good father, which we serve a good father, our heavenly father disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God's treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you're illegitimate and not really his child at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our heavenly or our earthly fathers discipline us for just a few years, doing the best they knew how. Doing the best they knew how. Some of you people out here today, men and women alike, will look at your earthly fathers and condemn them for why you are the way you are today. You need to read this. So our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, and they did the best they knew how. They did the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. See, dads don't know everything. They're doing the best they know how. And some of you are going, well, you know what? My dad was never there. You don't know my dad. Here's what I had to deal with. Well, what I'm saying is, this is an avenue right here that the Bible's being really clear. You need to give him some grace. But you don't know. He didn't do anything right. He did the best he knew how, and obviously he didn't know very much. That's just the way you got. You got to finally come to that conclusion about your dad. He just didn't know much, and that's not to put him down. That's just fact. He just didn't know how to do it right. He did the best he knew how. But God's is always good so that we can share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. That's not Ashley's words. That's what it says in the NLT. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. You know, when you get a whooping, you think about doing that again next time and go, I ain't doing that. I know what the consequence of that is, and I don't like that whooping. And if you are disciplined correctly, then it gets done correctly. I would love to go deeper on that thought, but I don't have time. Proverbs 3:11 says not to reject God's discipline. So as adults, As children of God, as Christian people, we're not to reject God's discipline. Disciplining a child is never seen as a negative in Scripture. Not once, ever, never, ever. Come on, church, you need to hear this. Disciplining a child is never seen as a negative in Scripture. It always strengthens and builds relationship and love. That's what it does every time. When a relationship has been restored through repentance, through forgiveness, grace, the punishment can then be doled out with care, with instruction in mind, and consequences. Too many times, we as parents give false grace to our kids. False grace is taking away the consequence. As people, as parents, false grace, there's still a consequence. Grace does not remove the consequence, it restores the relationship. That's my whole message. Now I'm going to talk for another 30 minutes. Here's a little help. Before it's actually time for your kids to clean their room, before it's time, have a family meeting. In this meeting, you're going to communicate clearly what is expected when it's time to clean the room. Here's what's expected. And you communicate that very clearly. Stuffing things in the closet does not count as clean. See, you go through all of that on the front end. That doesn't count as clean. You also communicate what the consequences will be for not obeying. Let's say one of the consequences, it's a good consequence for not cleaning your room, when you have set this up in advance, no phone for 3 days. You're not using my phone if they don't have a phone. You're not using your phone if they have a phone. So you're not using a phone for 3 days. Seems fair. Cleaning day arrives, and the room isn't clean. The room's not clean. It's not a big surprise because you've been dealing with this for a long time. But you finally set it up right. And so now it's time for the conversation, and you go over the rule and the consequence with them so that they understand why their phone is about to become yours for the next 72 hours. This, for a child, is painful. Painful. It's not good. The consequences are, now watch this. Watch this. It's very important you see this. They get punished for disobeying you, not for not cleaning their room. Now you say, whoa, what are you talking about here? You didn't make that rule up. It's commandment number 5 right out of the word, and all of a sudden they sinned. They sinned against God. And so to get in right standing and restore relationship, you teach them through the consequence and through grace. Here's the thing, young man, young lady, hallelujah, you get to go to heaven. Because of God's grace, you get to get back in right standing because of God's grace. And you know what? You get to get back in my right standing. Now let's go clean our room again. And I'll come help you. I'll come help you. We're going to get this right. We're going to do it. See, the consequence is grace restores the relationship. I'm not mad at you, but sin has to be taken care of. Sin's got to be taken care of. Are you hearing anything that I'm... It's just very important. Now, grace, as it comes in, it restores a relationship. Now, in the car this afternoon, make sure you repeat that part of the conversation. And let the young people not just say, Mom, I need some grace. Mom, Dad, I need some grace here. That's a quick help for the parents. But what about giving grace to others? Let's just talk about that as Christian people, giving grace to others. Oftentimes, grace is seen as just giving a free pass for people to do whatever they want to do. And that's the way I've seen it in a lot of circumstances. It's just a free pass. Go do whatever you want to do. Whatever you've been doing, it's against you because that sin in their life, and I just can't give them grace. And grace, when it comes to their sin, all of a sudden becomes a spiritual matter. Sin causes what? All sin, separation from God. All sin is considered separation from God. So I don't know if that's sin or not. Did it separate you from God or did it draw you towards Him? Through it real quick. Is that sin or not? Well, did it separate you from God or did it draw you to Him? So we have a belief that giving grace is always spiritual. But there's a natural part of giving grace that we have to understand when it comes to others. It's the idea that Jesus did something by him coming and living as a man, extending grace to a lost and dying world as a man. So there's a real physical application to grace. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. You've read this time and time again. Well, down in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, and I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. It said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was just described as grace and truth. The truth is, yes, you messed up. And the truth is, you killed somebody, you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison. Truth. But my grace will get you through it. Why? Because I'm going to restore right standing with me, and I can walk in that. Now, a lot of people just say, well, I've got to suffer the consequence, and that's why I'm here, and they lose the relationship. But you don't have to, because his grace was given on the cross for you. So what does it mean? We understand the grace that comes from Jesus. What does it mean to give somebody else grace, to one another? It means that we see one another as new creations in Christ. We've got to see each other through Jesus's lens. When we look at each other through our own, we get in the flesh. So we've got to jump in the spirit man to look at people, or people are going to continually let you down. People quit coming to church because they had a bad experience at church, or somebody led them wrong, or led them. And I think that's horrible when that happens. But I can tell you that every time that happens, they didn't look through a Jesus lens. They looked through a lens that was only flesh. And if we look at people through the flesh, you won't be able to administer grace. All grace has to be ministered through the Spirit for then it to go to the natural. It has to start in the Spirit. We're all in process. She's in process right now. Give her grace, Josh. We're all in process. But that's not a way of saying free pass. It's a call for us as individuals and as the church to engage the process God himself gave us. That's what we got to do. We got to engage the process, looking at sin rather than ignoring it. Calling it what it is with the gentleness and truth, like God does. Reminding our friends that may have sinned against God, that reminding our friends of the path of confession, the path of repentance that's available to them like God does, and then cheerleading alongside as our friends change. Unlike God. What do you mean? When you confess your sin to God, it's forgotten, not held against you, and it's removed. We don't have that option, so we have to access the spirit man inside of us so we can cheerlead someone who's royally messed up. Majorly messed up. We cheerlead alongside our friends, and we do it out of an intimate relationship with Jesus and then a deep love that we can have for one another. Galatians 6:1, I got to get into this just a little deeper. Galatians 6:1, dear brothers and sisters, and I talked about this Wednesday. If you weren't here Wednesday, I want to encourage you to pick up a CD, because a lot of the life that we live is the life we've created for ourselves. Dear brothers and sisters, it says in Galatians 6:1, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. All right here in this first verse of Galatians 6, if another believer is overcome by some sin, if another believer who is overcome by some sin, who is he talking about? Somebody who stumbled here, somebody who's messed up. If another brother has stumbled, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. But be careful about not falling into the same temptation yourself. That's be careful that you're not in the same environment trying to help them too much, because then that environment can consume you. Share each other's burdens, verse 2. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're fooling yourself. You aren't that important. You're just not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. We are each responsible. Who's it talking here in verse 2 through 5? Those who are burdened. Those who have a heavy load. Those who have a heavy load. Verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You can't mock the justice of God. You always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing good. Let's don't get tired of doing good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest, a blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Verses 6 and on, well, 6 talks about teachers. All of these different people, those who have stumbled, those who have a heavy burden, teachers, and then it goes to everyone else, it specifically talks about how they all need grace given by God's people. All these people need grace. Let's just talk about those who stumble. A sheriff deputy was on the road when he came across a one-car accident. A man driving a pickup truck with a horse trailer had blown a Firestone tire and wrecked into a ditch on a lonely road. He was thrown from his truck, the horse was thrown from the trailer, and his dog, which is in the back of the truck, was thrown out. The deputy first came across the horse, and it was badly injured. There was no chance it was going to recover. Being a humane man, the officer pulled out his pistol, and he put the horse out of its misery. Then he saw the dog. The dog, it was badly hurt. It was whimpering. There was no chance it would live either. So he put it down with a single shot. Finally, he located the driver of the truck. He was lying over in the ditch, and he had several broken bones, and he wasn't able to get up. And the deputy ran over to him and said, "Are you okay?" And the man said, "Never felt any better." Never felt it. The church is the only army in history that shoots its own. Let me say that again. The church is the only army in history that shoots its own wounded. When someone's hurt, when someone's messed up, when they've fallen in a ditch, we just all pull the gun out. Let's put them out of their misery. They're not welcome. There's a person in the church that sin happens to. And let me just say, even a godly person is capable of choosing the wrong path and making a wrong choice. Paul says, watch out yourself or you'll end up falling into the same problem. This person's guilty, they're caught up in a sin. It could mean they got caught by someone. Either way, it's speaking about someone who is guilty and others know about it. So what do we do? That's the question. And several people in the church have learned to hate the church and they won't ever go back to church because somebody in the church pulled a gun out while they were in the ditch and shot them. It's a great illustration, but it's true. What do? Well, we give them grace. You do. Well, they don't deserve it. Once again, the definition of grace is given to people who don't deserve it. Now, there is a difference between giving grace and then putting them in a position where others are called to trust them in an area they've just failed royally in. Young people always equate trust, grace, to love. And they think if you don't give me grace and you don't trust me, even though I messed up, then you don't really love me. Let me just tell you, I can love you a whole bunch and never trust you. I can love you through the eyes of Jesus and not trust you. And I can always give you grace as you walk in the consequences of your non-trust. But the grace has to be given if you're ever going to restore anyone in any situation, in any circumstance. Grace has to be given for restoration. That's the whole message. Grace has to be given for restoration. And you say, well, I don't get that. How about this song? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Aren't you glad you were extended grace? I'm so glad that I received grace. And grace was necessary for me to either initially establish a relationship with Jesus, or when I fell away, to reestablish a relationship with Jesus. Grace was necessary. No discipline can seem real pleasant at the time for the person who's not getting it. But discipline will make you wake up to the enjoyment of grace given. It'll make you wake up. The second thing that Paul was addressing here, to those who are overburdened. Some people here today are overburdened. There are some single moms here. There are some struggling financially. There are some widows here. There are some young people that are in an environment day in and day out that they're burdened, faced with pressures in school, in college. There are some young people that are this close. Come on, this morning, hear me today. There are some young people here today that are this close to caving and nobody knows it. They're this close to giving in. There are some with job trouble. Paul says right here to bear one another's burdens. What does that mean? That means extend grace. That means extend grace. The word here isn't the kind of load that we all have. I mean, verse 5, we each are responsible for our own conduct. So we're all responsible for our own conduct. What he's talking about here is not just getting out of bed in the morning. Boy, I need someone to come lift me out of bed. That's not what he's talking about. That's you be responsible for that yourself. He's talking about a load that has been put on you that you didn't ever intend to have to walk with, but here you find yourself. See, you're here, and we as Christian people recognize other people's loads, and we step up and we help them. Someone just gets out of the hospital. Here at this church, we're real good about making sure they have a meal every night for a few nights, making sure that they're taken care of to the best of our ability. Let's say you're going on a one-week pack trip into the mountains of Colorado, and you're going with a church camp. So this is all Christian. Everything you need for the whole week, you're going to carry on your backs into the mountain. The morning of the 20-mile hike in, everyone loads up their backpacks with the provisions for the trip. You drive to the trailhead. Everyone puts on their pack. 10 miles up, 20 miles was the initial, but we got 10 of it driven. Now we're going to walk 10. So you put your pack on, and you start walking, and everybody starts walking pretty good to start with. Then you start noticing some others that are struggling. They just seem to not be able to hack it. Here's the mindset to some. What's their problem? What's their problem? And the more the other guy struggles, the better it makes you look who's still carrying their bag. See, the more they're struggling, the better it makes. What you don't realize is your pack is full of potato chips, and they got the one that has all the cast iron. Now, nobody knew what was in what bag. They just grabbed the packs that were all loaded, and somebody got the cast iron one. It wasn't their intent. It wasn't what they meant to do. It wasn't everybody laughing and, watch this, we're going to give the cast iron to this. Hopefully, it's a Christian group. But you notice that they're having some of us pride ourselves in the way we carry our pack, don't we? Obviously, nobody's going to go, yeah, I do. See, we don't realize what the other guy's carrying. We don't realize what they were handed was way different. And as long as we look good, we're content to let them struggle along. So we begin to think, and maybe even to say, boy, aren't I something? Aren't I something? When in fact, the Bible says we're nothing. We're nothing without Jesus. And if we would take some of the load that the other guy is carrying and add it to ours, we wouldn't have quite the same air about us. But I see a lot of Christians who are in 20 and 30 member churches because it became all about them, and they weren't worried about the load that others were carrying. Are y'all getting anything from this today? Giving grace, giving favor to one who's carrying a heavy load is important. The third thing today, to those who teach in verse 6. Now, I'm really thankful that this is in Scripture. Those who teach have a heavy responsibility. I understand that, and I receive that responsibility as I'm teaching today. I understand the responsibility that's there. I don't really know why he put it, because the teacher accepts the responsibility when they step up. But here's the thing. One thing heard wrong. One thing heard wrong or done wrong sends someone out the door. You wouldn't believe the different people who have taught, even from right here. I knew their heart. I knew what they were preaching on. I knew what they were teaching on in Sunday school. I knew their heart. I knew what they were teaching on. I knew what they were preaching on. And they may have got in a ditch, because at Christian ministry, sometimes we teach from the ditch. And someone would pull a gun out and shoot them. I've seen it happen time and time again. And it never was from a new Christian. It was always from someone who had been in the faith a long time. Now, I'm not here to condemn anyone. I'm here to say the Bible says you better give some teachers some grace. You better give some teachers some grace. They took on a big responsibility, and they take it serious. They take it serious, but the Bible says give them some grace. And then in verses 7 through 10, it says extend grace to all people. Extend grace to all people. Paul says, let's do good to all men. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? That just pretty much means everybody. Let me just talk in ending this today, because I want you to see where I'm getting at. If we don't get to the point where we can give grace when our coworkers mess up, when our bosses mess up, when our siblings mess up, when our dad and our mom messes up, and when our kids mess up, if we don't understand that consequences are necessary, but grace is inevitable, or relationships are never restored. You will never restore a relationship where you haven't seen God's grace go first. You can just write it down. It'll never happen. Now, here's the other thing for all of us real spiritual people out there that are real mature in the Lord. Josh and I have talked a lot about this. Because different backgrounds bring different theological understandings of the word. Let's just mention a few. Baptism. Sprinkled, dunked. Some people will stand and tell you it's symbolic anyway. There is nothing wrong. You say yourself it's symbolic, so why do you stand on dunking people? Security of the believer. Or once saved, always saved. Can you get saved and once you're saved, you never lose your salvation? Many of you here would go, absolutely. But there's a lot of people here who say, no, you can lose your salvation. You can choose to reject the Lord, and you can, and say, I've got both sides right here in this church. How in the world can we all be here together and worship together? We got a major controversy. Gifts of the Spirit, when they should be implemented, when they shouldn't. I mean, you go on, and you're going to find there's a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different thinking. Let me give you a verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Jesus himself says, my grace is sufficient. And he was talking to Paul, and what he was saying is, my grace is sufficient for your ignorance. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Because all of you that believe wrong on security of the believer, or non-security of the believer, whichever way, You're going to stand on that until you're dead, aren't you? That's right. And everybody else is wrong. I'm so glad God's grace is sufficient. You know why? We can still worship together. We can still move forward. Now, obviously, there are times it gets so different. Well, I just believe that there is not supposed to be drums on stage. We can get that far, and if that's one that you're going to stand on and God's grace hasn't been sufficient enough for you in that area, you're going to have to find another church. But, you know, we start drawing lines in the sand, and I'm not going to handle this. Here's what I believe the Bible says. Well, here's what I believe the Bible says. What I want you to hear today is we are dependent upon God's grace for us to be able to even talk every day. That we're dependent upon it. And I don't want to let an understanding that we're not going to get settled till we get to heaven and then it won't matter. You know what? God may say, there's a lot of people that did lose their salvation because they turned away from me. He may say to some of you, you know what? You kept thinking they were losing it, but I'm glad you did because they just kept coming back. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to say, but I watch a bunch of churches who do different than we do every week. And they're growing, and they're encouraging people in the Lord, and they're seeing people saved, and there's a bunch of them that don't do it like Christian ministries. But they're exalting the name of Jesus, and here's what I want you to know. They're wrong. But God's grace is sufficient. See, you want me to stand on what I believe as a teacher, as a leader, and I do. But if I get to heaven and find out I'm wrong, I'm dependent upon God's grace. And his grace is sufficient for my ignorance. He's sufficient for your ignorance. So watch that we don't get frustrated with a teacher who may not be on the same page and you pull your 9mm out and you shoot him. Come on, are you hearing me today? Grace is given by God for what reason? To allow you to connect with him. Because without his grace, you wouldn't have salvation. You wouldn't. When you have done what you have done, you do not deserve right standing with God. You don't deserve it. But he gave you grace so he could establish a relationship with you. Yes. Yes. So why do you give someone else grace? So you can establish or reestablish a relationship with them. And if you sit there and think that you're better than God, you got another thing coming. God gave grace, and we do it. And the whole purpose is so that it will restore relationships. Restore relationships. Come on, somebody need to hear that today. Restore some relationships. Well, how do I do that? You need some grace. You need some grace implemented. I know we're 1, 2, 3 all the time, but we've got to understand the importance of grace in the Christian's life. And there is grace that's got to be ministered to. Now, hopefully and prayerfully, as we grow and mature in the Lord, we don't have to live associated with God grace by grace. We can start living glory to glory. That's a whole other message, but know this. We are dependent upon God's grace for us to ever have the relationship with him that we desire. Y'all stand this morning.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.